Going back to your decision to try the atezolizumab, which I thought was really interesting when I saw this case, because the anti-PD-L1 agents came out. You heard this thing about maybe there's going to be less pulmonary toxicity. My understanding is the anti-PD-L1 agents like atezolizumab get the ligand for PD-L1, so it doesn't get the ligand for PD-L2. Tell me if my simplified explanation is right.
No, exactly.
But yet the anti-PD-1 agents that hit the receptor, therefore essentially suppressing PD-L1 and 2.
Exactly.
And what was the thinking about why it might have less pulmonary toxicity? And it kind of sounds like you think it really didn't pan out.
Well, I think you have to look at the data we've got in front of us. We're never going to see a head-to-head trial, certainly nowhere in the near future. You know, I think that numerically there's maybe a couple percentage points difference, but you always have to say cross-trial comparisons are somewhat suspect. I know there was a meta-analysis, again, that amplified that 1 to 2% difference. And again, it's just hard to say when the response rates track so well, when the other immune-related AEs track fairly well across Nivo, Pembro, Atezo. I can't put a lot of stock in it. But I do admit, in this case, where I admit there's a rechallenge risk, and I think some of those recidivism rates look like 50% or so, I'll take any little marginal benefit I can. But yeah, that idea that only hitting the ligand, it's just a much more selective inhibition there and kind of avoids some of the more general effects of the PD-L1, PD-L2 axis.
We'll get into the issue of first-line therapy, but I am curious how you approach the issue of second-line therapy. Right now, typically, that theoretically would be a patient who has a lower PD-L1 assay, so they're not going to get it first line or checkpoint inhibitor first line. They get chemo, maybe they get Bev if they're non-squamous. We should mention this man was an adenocarcinoma.
Right.
But then they progress and second line therapy. How do you go about choosing a checkpoint inhibitor there?
I have a lot of equipoise among the three agents we talked about, Pembro, Nivo, Atezo. Again, I'm not convinced by any real significant efficacy or toxicity differences. So a lot of it really plays into logistics. A lot of our patients are coming from a distance, and absent any clear benefit for one or the other, the three-week dosing sure is easier for patients. I'm a little paternalistic. The occasional patient that I'm nervous about, maybe their performance status is a bit marginal, I still kind of reach for Nivo because I know someone's going to lay eyes on them every 2 weeks. But in general, for a relatively fit, good PS patient, I typically use Atezo or Pembro mostly for logistics. And Pembro, of course, has the PD-L1 requirement of 1% or higher. So if they happen to be a non-expressor, if we don't have the data, Atezo is right available out of the box.
So this 79-year-old man, you say, was a heavy smoker in the past. Did he have chronic lung disease?
He had just a touch of emphysema, didn't have clinical COPD, but had radiographic evidence of emphysema, but, you know, really excellent O2 status and actually good performance status of dancing and singing when I first met him.
Wow, interesting. So it sounds like in this case, it was sort of straightforward that he had pneumonitis. I'm curious how often you run into this situation specifically with lung cancer when you're really not sure. You know, you've got a patient with prior lung disease, maybe cardiac disease, you have tumor in the lung. Do you find situations where you're really not sure what's going on and have to stop the checkpoint inhibitor?
Most definitely. And I think that, you know, our radiologists have gotten so much savvier about trying to call these differences. I think I've seen lymphangitic disease called so much more frequently in the last 2 years than I have the 10 years prior. So I think it winds up being a discussion, and I completely acknowledge that point. This case happened to be fairly standard, or the radiographic appearance was really unimpugnable. But when there's that question of pre-existing interstitial lung disease, whether that's smoking associated or other, or kind of a lymphangitic picture that's hard to discern, or the patients who have had radiation in the past where there's kind of a radiation pneumonitis piece to it, I think it's challenging. So really, as with a lot of these immune-related AEs, I bring in my pulmonologist, I'm talking to my ID docs, and, you know, in this case, it was so straightforward we didn't even admit to the hospital, but I have a very low threshold to bring them in, ask my pulmonologist to do a bronchoscopy. Again, it's not always a satisfying entity, and sometimes just we have to kind of look at it a bit empirically and say, it's risky enough, let's just stop the drug and put them on steroids and kind of see how it plays out.
So obviously there's a lot of individualization involved, but I'm just kind of curious your gestalt. When you start a patient on a PD-1 agent like nivolumab in this case, in your own mind, putting it all together in terms of data and your own clinical experience, what's your best estimate for the risk of pneumonitis for something like this to happen?
I'd say the kind of the 5% proportion that you kind of see, plus or minus a couple percent, is very consistent with what we've seen in our practice. And again, I think there probably is a mild correlation with previous radiation. We were very involved in one of the clinical trial groups, and they were very conservative to say anyone who had had, let's say, 40 gray of radiation was prohibited from seeing a PD-1 inhibitor within 6 months. In real practice, of course, that's not always practical. A patient may have had chemo-rads for stage 3 disease and has a rapid recurrence. When I see that kind of patient, when there's not as much clinical data, I am very honest with the patient. I say, we're going to follow you very closely. There's at least a theoretical risk of some radiation pneumonitis, or maybe pneumonitis that is more likely in the setting of that recent heavy dose of radiation. So it's just, I think it's something to bear in mind.